Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. This was a professional win. They just beat the Boston Celtics in two straight games. Joel Embiid was a monster. They go on the road to Detroit to play a three-win squad without Derrick Rose, without Blake Griffin, and they squeak it out. Look, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't one of those games that gets you so excited because it looked so damn solid, and it wasn't as if there was beautiful ball movement and beautiful shooting because, let's be realistic, they struggled from shooting behind the arc. So it wasn't a gorgeous win. But it doesn't matter. In a 72-game season, there's going to be games that are not outstanding, and you have to grind it out, no matter who's on the other side. And the fact that they were able to get it done shows me the professionalism, shows me the growth, shows me the mentality, shows me the determination. And honestly, it shows me the leadership. And once again, it starts with Joel Embiid on the floor. Casually gives you 33. Casually grabs a bunch of rebounds. Casually knocks down shots from the free throw line. It starts with the big man. Before the game started, we were informed that it was possible Tobias, Ben, and Joel Embiid didn't even go. They almost did not play, and I was afraid after last game when Embiid landed on his tailbone that he wouldn't, because the nature of this franchise says they're realistically going to hold Joel Embiid back. They don't want him to play through any sort of injury. They'd rather be safe than sorry. How many times do we hear that, oh, it's just precautionary. We don't want to force anything. There's no reason to throw him out there if it's something that time can maybe give us a better feel on the situation. That's something that has been told to us forever. But the fact that they all played through it, they all battled through the physicality. If they were nicked up, if they were banged up a bit, it doesn't matter. They're going to go out there and they're going to play. Joel Embiid logged in 35 minutes. Tobias Harris played over 40. Ben Simmons played a ton of minutes. This is your standard, typical, let's just bench some of our starters, let them get rest type of game. But because there's a different attitude, and that's an entire organizational change. That's what that is. The approach from the entire organization all the way at the top from the ownership down has changed the way that they view Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons when it comes to that. It's time to turn the page. It's time to admit, all right, fellas, let's take that leap. I feel like I said take that leap 3 billion times since this season has started. But when you look at Joel Embiid and you look at where this franchise is, yeah, that's what's happening here. Appreciate it. Seriously, take a deep breath, take a step back, and just appreciate what Joel Embiid is doing. Must-watch television, dominating games like all the big names do in this league. Taking over, destroying. Now, Ben Simmons did too, and let's touch on him. But first, we are broadcasting live from the Manscaped Man Cave. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BROD at manscaped.com. So, Ben Simmons had 20 points on 5 field goals. What does that mean? Well, that means he was getting fouled and getting to the free throw line. And he was knocking them down as well. He finished 10 of 12 from the charity stripe. And the Pistons went with the philosophy of, let's hack a Ben. Let's put him on the line. Let's see if he can beat us. And he did. He came up crucial. He came up big. And I applaud him for that because we've been waiting. And for as much as everyone's been stressing his inability to shoot from distance, the willingness to get to the line and the aggressive mentality of let me attack the rim, let me get fouled, it all starts with him being confident at that line. He needs to wake up. He needs to walk up to the line, look right at the rim, and confidently know, I'm going to make this shot. And it looked like that was it. You could see in the eyes of players when they are going to fail on free throws. Right? I mean, it's pretty damn obvious when you see body language, when you see someone maybe quivering a bit, shivering a bit, shaking a bit. You can see when players are uncomfortable. Their eyes look a little glossy. They don't want that moment. It looked like Ben Simmons wanted that moment, and I absolutely need to recognize that. That's big growth. He had an awesome first half, 16 points. They were drawing up plays for him. It looked like, yo, go get Ben the ball. Joel Embiid was hanging out a lot by the perimeter, and Ben Simmons was down low establishing his position. I think it was a mindset of Doc early in the game. Hey, let's get Ben going. He had a great fourth quarter last game. He essentially put it away and helped us win. Oh, he made defensive plays as well. I'm speaking about the last game against Boston. Doc Rivers was like, hey, let's have Ben Simmons build off this. So early on, you got Ben right around the rim, 2 inches from the basket. But keep in mind, Embiid was hanging around by the perimeter. He still had a great, solid first quarter. I think they both finished with about 8 points, so they were showing their aggressiveness, both of them. But I recognize that. Okay, they want Ben Simmons to establish himself offensively. 16 points in the first half. I was blown away. Now here comes the second half. And this isn't nitpicking. This is a reality of him. He only had 1 point in the entire second half until about a handful of minutes left or a minute or two left when the game was coming down to the end. Does that upset me? Yes. And it's not just nitpicking, because once again, it backpacks off of what I said yesterday and why everyone is so damn frustrated. This was a great game by Ben Simmons. But did you see what he did in the first? Now, why does it take the entire second half until essentially he gets fouled to go to the charity stripe? Like, why does it take until then to keep up what you were doing early on? Because you could take it to another level. As fun as it is to watch Joel Embiid right now, Ben, that could be you too. You can be that special. So yes, it annoys me and it bothers me that I didn't see that same aggressiveness throughout the entire second half. It's like when he chooses to do it, he can do it. But when he doesn't want to, well, then it's not the same. In this specific game, when they beat a 3-win Detroit Pistons team, okay, all right, I get it. We should all just be super excited about Ben Simmons, and I acknowledge that. But when I'm looking at who Ben is, who Ben needs to be, and where Ben needs to get to, that's why this feeling that I have enters my body. Because if it was just about tonight, which sometimes when I discuss things, it is. Sometimes I say, okay, well, when it comes to just this game, and then I'll go on and kind of define what I'm talking about. But other times, I like to add a little bit more bigger picture in the conversation, and that's where I'm at right now. Because with all due respect to the Detroit Pistons led by Jeremy Grant, can this be applied when it matters? And I really hope so. And if he continues to play this way, I will feel more optimistic about it. I know Ben can be an unbelievable talent. That's why I loved him for so damn long. But yeah, at some point, I expect more. I expect more out of the guy. Yes, at some point, I think it's okay to look at Ben over the first 15 games and say, Ben, like, this is unacceptable. Now he's starting to get into a groove. Now he's starting to get into a rhythm. Well, let's go. Doc, after the game, said something I thought was pretty interesting. He said his floor game is so damn good. If he focused on the scoring, would that go away? Like, it's almost as if it has to be one or the other. And that's where I get annoyed. Why? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be lethal, insane, great scoring and lethal, insane, great floor game with great defense? Why can't we have a player that can do multiple things and do them at a reasonable clip? Like, why? Why can it only be, well, let him just focus on the floor game, because if he focuses on his scoring, it won't be as effective. No! Get it to where it can both be effective. I don't think I'm asking for too much. I really don't. But ultimately, looking at it, calming down, he had a good game tonight. And if you want to look at those free throws late, that can. And I will say once again, it can be, not it will be, but it can be big for him confidently continuing to get fouled, to get to the charity stripe, and to make free throws. Because teams are going to rock and roll with this philosophy. We've seen it since he's gotten here. Hey, let's hack a Ben. Well, I love it. He put the game away. That matters. That's important. And so is what he did defensively. I mentioned Jeremy Grant. And real quick, isn't it amazing what this guy has become? Remember what he used to be like here? And that just defends my point all along of it takes players time. And don't you dare try and throw Ben Simmons back at me, because there is a breaking point with Ben Simmons that it doesn't relate to any other player due to his uniqueness. But in terms of guys demanding this team to go win a championship 2 years ago, you know, years ago, just because he hadn't been in Simmons, they weren't ready. Look at how Jeremy Grant has grown. Not to say he's some talent that brings you to championships, but if you look at him individually, like, it takes time for guys to grow. But Allah was foaming out the mouth about his production and in terms of his change in the way things look. Like, he was even saying when he was here, it was hideous. It was awful. It was ugly, that jump shot. And it got transformed. Well, he was transforming his entire shot. It would be nice if Ben Simmons was doing that, but it is what it is. I'm bringing back the defense, right? Ben Simmons defensively on Jeremy Grant. It was a tough day at the office. You know, if you expect to go into work, clock in, clock out, nice and easy, go to the water fountain, you know, have your little water cooler conversation, maybe a cup of Joseph at 8 a.m. Hey, Nancy, how's it going? Oh, how was the play on Sunday? You know, whatever. It wasn't going to be that way. Ben got his hands in the mix. I really love, too, if there was a mistake offensively, not specifically from him, but I'm just saying in terms of the entire team. Let's say they turned the ball over. It wasn't a smooth possession. How many times did you see him break up a play on the other side by taking, I don't know, two or three strides because he's that damn quick getting back on that end, and his strides are so damn long that he's able to be effective just getting back, making a play that way, too. I mean, he was what we love about Ben Simmons defensively, and Jeremy Grant struggled. He did hit a big three, which allowed the Pistons to somewhat think they have a little bit of life. He finished with, what did he finish with? It wasn't great. I don't know if I actually wrote down him shooting. Oh, yeah, 3 of 19. 3 of 19. And it's kind of wild that the Pistons still hung on and were still able to really clinch into some close play with Jeremy Grant going 3 of 19. But that's what happens when they shoot the ball from 3 better, right? They were 14 of 33 from 3. Ellington was making shots. Their bench was making shots. The Sixers, first quarter, couldn't even get a three. And their bench scoring was tough. It wasn't like their bench scoring was something that they could really rely on. Shake Milton was held scoreless forever at the end of the third quarter, which seems to be a common theme, which you need to recognize and put a little star next to as you continue to watch this team grow into who their identity is. Shake Milton helped with a nice run at the end of the third quarter to put the Sixers up around 6 points. He had a layup, and then in the fourth quarter, he knocked down his first three, and things got going a bit, which helped put the Sixers in position. So, one, from a Shake Milton perspective, tough, but then he ended up bouncing back and getting some crucial points. And from a third quarter with the bench closing out into the fourth quarter, you are getting good production. You are getting scoring, and you're getting these players to put the team, for when their starters get back into the game, in a reasonable spot, whether they're from behind and the gap closed so the Sixers can maybe pounce with their starters, or they run away with it a bit and open up a nice window of opportunity for the starters to close it out firmly with the lead. I love it. Doc did allude to, though, not having enough at that four position. And you look at the amount of minutes Tobias Harris played. Is there a correlation to his thoughts? Mike Scott being injured, of course, there's a correlation with that as well. You know, you got Ben Simmons that can play off the ball at times, play at that spot. You're going to have some issues with that four. And I think that's what Daryl Morey is going to approach when he gets the chance to. He's going to pick up the phone, make some calls, and let's see if the Sixers allude to maybe go down the road of picking up some sort of big that can play in that four spot. And even when Mike Scott comes back, you know, I don't really know how much you can rely on him, because in that it isn't as if he's been a reliable player, not just from an injury perspective, but more along the lines of production. You got to have someone who can do more than just fill the four. You know, it's got to be more of a, hey, I can play this role for you and do it at a high level. Speaking of some other bench players, when the whole conversation came up about needing that position, Tyrese Maxey did as well, and you can see that his minutes are closing and getting smaller, and he's getting significantly less of a role. You know, Doc doesn't say it has much to do with his play. He almost says the opposite. I think it's all player speak. It's all coach speak, I should say. Hey, he's not doing anything wrong. And look, he's a rookie. I'm not saying he is. But this is the nature of the beast. It looks like you're going to be going with some other choices right now. You see a lot of rookie stuff going on with Tyrese Maxey, and it is what it is, right? Like, I'm not demanding Tyrese Maxey to go out there and have to play 30 minutes, right? I mean, a lot of the reasons why he was playing was because of COVID-19, and you had to push guys up on the bench because of the contact tracing. I think Tyrese Maxey can get more than he did tonight, but I also think there's a reason why he's getting less play as well. You know, guys are getting back, and he's a rookie ball handler. We'll see that. We'll see how it continues to play out. I'm sure he's going to get more opportunities, and he's a kid that seems to make the most of them as well. Like, he'll seize the opportunity, and he'll make some noise again, right? I really feel that will happen. All right, let's hear a word before we continue on about Dwight Howard and his shorts that got ripped, which was a wild scene. I want to let you know about my friends over at DraftKings. Pigskin fans, the moment you have been waiting for all season is right around the corner. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like who will score last, and boom, you will get to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code BROADS to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code BROADS now and enter $55 million Super Bowl Challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So I touched on Dwight Howard and his shorts, right? I've never seen a man get his shorts literally ripped to the point where a piece of the cloth is on the court and he still gets called for a foul. Now, I do think that I agree with the people on Twitter that goes crazy because I do feel the refs have an out on Dwight Howard no matter what he does just because of his body and his structure and the way that he's aggressive on the boards and on the glass and with his body. They like to call him for fouls. Now, there are plenty of times where he does it on his own and he logs five personal fouls in 9 minutes. Like, I've seen that happen before based off of his play. Not so much the referees just being assholes, but there are sometimes too where, come on, you gotta be kidding me. You're calling that? Really? I remember the sequence. It was pretty similar to Korkmaz jacking up a random ass air ball, and then within seconds, Dwight Howard has his pants getting ripped off. I'm thinking, what the hell am I watching? Really? What is this? This is a Saturday night game that, you know, people are paying attention to UFC and other stuff. That's the type of game it felt like out there. Korkmaz air balls and pants getting ripped off. Unreal. Although Quirky Doo had one of those late possession shot clocks going and he gives you a big jack from about 300 feet off the three-point line and it hit nothing but net. So, good for you, Quirky. Proud of you. I really am. The Pistons bench held them in it. While the Sixers bench were just an issue. But look, when you think about the starters as well, right? Tobias Harris, 17 points. Tobias Harris knocking down some three-pointers. It's tremendous. And I think everything surrounding the team is why this is happening with him. And what I mean by that is Joel Embiid playing the way that he's playing is a big reason why Tobias Harris is able to operate the way that he does. With Seth Curry being such a factor, that changes the spacing and changes the significance of Tobias Harris. A strong point, this team won the game when Seth Curry did not hit 1-3. He wasn't able to connect from outside. Yet he still had a big impact on the game, and that shows you his versatility. He finished with 14 points, 6 of 11 from the field. You know, Seth Curry's biggest attribute is just standing there, and I mean that with all due respect. He can clearly shoot it from 60% from three, it seems, this season. But I mean how teams have to defend this squad. When Seth Curry is out there, his best attribute is his presence, just being out there and standing from behind the arc. So the fact that it might not be his best night, and it's not one of those games where he starts out 3-of-3 from three and you wonder if he's ever going to miss, and when he does, how late into the fourth is it going to be because he's going to go on a big 7-run stretch of just hitting shots. And I say 7, I mean 7 threes, not just 7 points. And he's still able to be effective. He's still able to get you buckets. He's able to put the ball on the floor and make plays happen off the bounce, whether it's a nice floater or getting close enough to the rim to get a nice layup off the window, kiss it off the glass. You saw it in different ways, and I thought that was very beneficial. Three guys were questionable entering tonight. A little banged up, they said. 17 from Tobias, 33 from Joel Embiid, and 20 points from Ben Simmons. It's that leadership step. It's that locker room step with these guys. As if, you know, maybe Dwight Howard, Danny Green would look at them and go, hey, fellas, you know who wouldn't take this night off? LeBron, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry. Me in my prime, if I was Dwight Howard saying this, right? Like, I wonder how much of that goes into this conversation. Danny Green, Dwight Howard, these guys are the veterans that we watched come into this locker room and then change it around a bit, right? Have this more of the personality of guys who have been there before. And not only that, they've had some swag to it, too. So I wonder if there was ever a behind-closed-doors conversation. Yo, fellas, come in here. This organization, maybe they would have let you sit this one out in years past. And don't get me wrong, if your tailbone hurts, your tailbone hurts, right? Let's not be stupid here. But if you're going to take warm-ups and you're going to be questionable and you think you can go and you think it's enough to kind of test it and play out there, those players willing to take that step and those players willing to go from guys to stars, they play in these nights. Not only do they play in these nights, they win in these nights. Even though it's against a team that had 3 wins. You're on the second half of a back-to-back. You just had emotional games against the Boston Celtics where Joel Embiid is dropping 40 points and seriously taking over to this elite level. Consistency has been a flaw. That's part of becoming a professional. There's guys who can give you 40 points one every 20 games. Can you do it for 10 games? 30 strong, but you get my point, 35. Can you give you 30 to 35 in 10 games in a row? 8 games in a row? 7 games in a row? And maybe it doesn't have to be in a row, but how about 8 out of 10? 7 out of 10? That's when you start becoming the player where it's on a whole new dominance, where it's on a whole new level of watch out for Joel Embiid. And it's funny, right? You look at the 33 points and 14 rebounds, and he had his fingerprints all over this one. He was seriously awesome. He had a huge block late, and he had a possession where he wasn't happy. He thought he got fouled. The ball was kind of getting loose. He lost possession. He gathered it, though, as he was fading away. I don't think you can fade away. You start fading away, and guess what? Well, the whistles are going to be held. They're not going to blow it. If you get yourself lower, if you establish position, if it's you going hard to the rack and the other guy has to hold you down to do it, you're most likely going to get that call. So I'm not against the call not happening. I can see why I should say that. I can see why they did not blow the whistle there. But he was furious. He wasn't happy. Those three combining for the night that they had, that's so impressive. That's this team growing up together. That's that team learning. That's that team adjusting to this type of lifestyle. Night in, night out, at home, on the road, it doesn't matter. 72 games. Three-win team, it doesn't matter. They can still play you hard that night. On any given night, a bad team can give you one of those tough battles. You got to respect what Detroit did. They ran out of juice. They ran out of gas. They don't have talent out there. I mean, eventually, the real players are going to take care of business, let's say. And that's what happened. But I still thought it was impressive, which, you know, for me, it says a lot, considering when I see a team on the other side that's a piece of shit like this team really is, I normally don't give it much credit. But if I'm going to factor in what has been happening over recent times and who they have been playing recently and the emotional wins and the type of play that occurred in those wins, even though this wasn't the smooth and cleanest game, the fact that they went through it. They went through it, and Ben Simmons taking free throws late in the game to finish the job off. Well, we've only been screaming for him to add that to his repertoire for so damn long. Walk up with swagger. Walk up with the mindset of, I'm knocking these down. I want the ball. Foul me, please. It felt like it was going to slip away. And the fact that it didn't, yeah, it's great. It really is. It's something that makes me excited. It's something that makes me happy. I'm starting to learn more and more about this team. I'm starting to see their rotations. I'm starting to see how the players play with one another. I'm starting to see their sets. And I'm starting to see how Ben Simmons is playing with Joel Embiid. Things have changed there throughout. Little things are being added. But the biggest thing is the IQ and the understanding of how to play with one another. Yeah, it's becoming something serious. Brett Brown would go with the philosophy of, you know, go out there and play and let the game come to you. Well, Doc Rivers is doing that with some players specifically, but it's more structured. It has that vibe, don't get me wrong, of, Ben, go make plays. I love your ground game. I love your floor game. Go make plays. He does do that with Ben Simmons, for sure, 100%. So not everything has changed, but it's more of a structured way of doing it. Where I think at times where you saw players be stagnant in years past, well, that's because there wasn't that recognizable move next. Okay, well, if it does get sloppy, if it does get into one of those possessions where no one moves, we have things off of that. Okay, go into this instantly. Everyone recognize, hey, this is the stagnant offense. We don't want, go into this. Or if it's not even stagnant and it's just a play where Ben's coming up on the left side with some space and Joel Embiid's already getting to where he wants, they have these set things off of the, hey, go out and play. More than they did in years past. Whether it's the snug pick and roll between Ben and Joel off to the side of it, which sometimes results in great play, but other times it's really questionable, and I wonder how much they're going to try and force those in certain moments. Because sometimes I feel, is the snug pick and roll the best thing to do right now? No, it wasn't. But others, hey, you get Embiid and Ben connecting really well. And I know this story right now about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid texting after the game is getting a lot of love and a lot of support. Am I being a douche to think that that means absolutely nothing to me? That Joel Embiid texted Ben Simmons after the game and said, I missed you on a couple duck-ins? I mean, really, what does that mean? You know, there's so much interaction going on between teammates. Am I supposed to get all lovey-dovey and all heart-warmed that two teammates are texting about the game afterwards? Are people trying to make it seem like, hey, well, because they did it in the years past, this is them growing together? Come on. You're telling me over the last couple of years, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid never shot each other a text message about the game? I mean, I just find that so hard to believe. People are eating it up, loving it. Oh, this is a love story. This is outstanding. This is beautiful. Really? Really? Two teammates texting after a game? I don't know. I just don't say. I think that's a reach. Look, I'm here for a lot of support when it comes to this team becoming one. Because there's no doubt about it that internally, they are really becoming something that is so damn awesome to watch night in and night out. It's super fun. If you're not entertained by this, well then damn, you don't love the sport. Which is shame on you. Learn it. Learn to love it, because you're missing out. I'm here to support a lot of great things that I see that shows me how this team is adapting and becoming a family. That one, though, come on. Come on. I think it's a little strong. I really do. All right, speaking of strong, Orbit Energy and Power, so strong, best in the business. With over 20 years of experience in the solar industry, they are home to your solar experts in residential and commercial projects. They are dedicated to making sure your project is completed easily and properly by using high-quality materials and trained professionals to get the job done right. Their solar program eliminates your electric bill completely. They offer flexible financing solutions, such as $0 down. There's no risk and no need for investment. They also provide water purification systems, backup energy services, battery storage, and more. So check out all of their information. It is all down below. They play the Pistons again on Monday night. Let's see if they can take care of business twice. Let's see if they can beat them twice and carry this squad on a nice little run here on the road. They've struggled on the road in years past. Not that they didn't struggle tonight, because there were struggling moments, troublesome moments. Clocked out, though, and the win stands. That's what really matters. So thank you all so much for listening, and I will see you next time.